Well, we're in Isaiah 25. Oh, just a word before I'm there. We will not be having children's church. We're just going to stay here. Sermon's going to be relatively short. And then we're going to move into then we'll have the baptism. And we're looking to be done at about noon. So we shall see how that works out. Okay. Isaiah chapter 25. Starting with verse 1. The answer is, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things. Things planned long ago. You have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin, the foreigners a stronghold city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore strong peoples will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You've been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against the wall, and like the heat of the desert. You silence the uproar of foreigners, as heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud, so the song of the ruthlessness is stilled. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and finest wines. On this mountain, He will destroy the shroud that enfolds people, the sheet that covers nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of His people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in Him and He saved us. This is the Lord we trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. The hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain, but Moab will be trampled under Him. As straw is trampled down in the manure, they will spread out their hands in it like a swimmer spreads out his hands to swim. God will bring down their pride despite the cleverness of their hands. He will bring down your high fortified walls, lay them low, bring them down to the ground, to the very dust. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we come before you this morning seeking your wisdom and your discernment. Lord, I pray that as I preach your word, your anointing would be upon me, that I might speak your word in truth and in power. And Lord, I pray that each person here would be encouraged and blessed by your word this morning, that you would just open their hearts and their minds to hear not my words, Lord, but to hear you speak. Might they hear your words, Lord, and grab a hold of them and live them out in their lives. Oh, Lord, we come before you this day and we give you the praise and the glory, for we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on this. What we see in this passage is a continuation of this eschatology that we see starting in chapter 24 and runs through 27. The end times, things that are going to be happening in the very end. Last week we saw that God would indeed rule, that the Lord Almighty will reign. This week, surely this is our God. Now, this is our God. We're not talking about just the people of Israel. We're also talking about the Gentiles and the foreigner. And we see this here in particularly as we start reading verse 6. It says, on this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a rich feast for all peoples. This rich feast will be for all peoples. And he will, on this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up to death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. 6 through 8 right there. This is referring to all people. Now, we see this passage also in 1 Corinthians 15. If you have your Bibles, want to turn with me there to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll be looking at verse 50, and it's forward there. First Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 15, it says, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the imperishable inherit the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortal. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It is death that is swallowed up in victory. He will swallow up death forever, and we see that death comes on us through sin here. The sting of death is sin. Christ did that. He had victory over it when He died on the cross and rose from the grave. And it was for all people. We see here that this is for all people. It's laid out. Salvation's for everybody. It's not just for the select few. But yet what we see through this is that not everybody gets it. Not everybody goes there. We have those who are in rebellion to God. And God knows this, so He brings in His power and He shows His power. Levels cities. You see, each of the cities used to have their trust in their own personal God. Each city had their own God. And by our Lord showing that He was the one who was powerful over each and every one, He's showing that He is indeed the Lord Almighty, which we saw last week in the verses last week. And now this week, in this passage, the focusing is that there is a praise, that there's a blessing, that there's victory and a blessing for all nations. Freedom from death. Freedom from sin. This is the work that Jesus did on the cross. And it's there for everybody. Still, not everybody will receive it. Some will be so close they can see it, but they're still going to turn their back on it in their own pride and say, I can do it myself. Any of you ever know anybody who's so prideful they needed a hand up and say, well, let me help you? No, I can do it myself. Yeah. Anybody is that person? Yeah. We're like that. People are like that. We think we can do it ourselves. We can get saved on our own. We can't do it. Jesus died on the cross because we needed that sinless sacrifice to free us from sin, to free us from death, from that pain. We're meant to be eternal creatures. We're meant to be in eternal relationship with the Father. That's what we're designed to be. However, not everybody who's heard the word, not everybody who's seen what God has done will receive it. The example we have here today is Moab. Butch, Rachel, you two have been to Israel. When you look east from Jerusalem, what do you see? What's out in the far distance? Moab. On the bluff just across the Jordan River, just on the other side of the Dead Sea, that those highlands up there, that's Moab. And you can see it from Jerusalem. And vice versa. There's a big dip in between. That's where the Jordan River is and where the Dead Sea is. But they're not that far apart. You can look across and see them. Moab, right next to Israel, has seen God's hand move time after time. Ruth was from Moab. Many times the Israelites had gone and lived among the people of Moab. But they always returned back to Jerusalem, back to Israel. Ruth became the wife of Boaz. And so is in the descent, one of her descendants is Jesus himself from that line. So they're close, so close to the blessing. But what do we have here? What is the word against Moab? It says, the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain. That's Jerusalem. But Moab will be trampled under him as straw is trampled down in the manure. Okay, this is not a pleasant picture. They will spread out their hand in it as a swimmer spreads out his hands to swim. Okay, so deep in it that you're swimming? You know. We will bring down their pride. What caused Satan to fall? Pride. What caused most of us to fall? Most of us, pride is the big issue. Pride is the issue here. He will bring down their pride despite the cleverness of their hands. They can build these great walls. He will bring down those fortified walls and lay them low. And he will bring them down to the ground, to the very dust. So God's blessing here is laid out. Victory for everybody. He has a banquet for everybody. It's available. But some will wall themselves up behind the wall of pride, as does Moab. And they're not going to enter into that blessing. They're going to be crushed into the manure. Again, not a pleasant picture being drawn there. But what we need to reach out for and see here is indeed that the Almighty will indeed prepare a feast of rich food for all people. And that He will, on that mountain, destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. And He will swallow up death forever. And the Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. That is, all faces of those to whom He is their Sovereign Lord. So what's required to have Jesus as your Sovereign Lord? Well, Jesus did all the work, but there's still requirement on our side. You know, we're not saved by our works. We're saved by the work of Jesus on the cross. But yet, we are still required to turn from our sin and turn to God. And say, Lord, You are my Lord. And receive Him as Lord and Savior. When we do that, then He takes and welcomes us, seals us with the Holy Spirit, and we are His own. We are His people. We are marked as His. Matthew chapter 28. verse 19. I'll start reading 18. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We need to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and then be baptized. When we become His disciples, we stand up and are baptized as a testimony to what He has done in our lives. The baptism doesn't save us. No. It is our public declaration of who indeed is our Lord and Savior. At 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 13. 2 Peter. That looks better. 1 Peter, verse 3, chapter 3, starting with verse 13, says, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord." Set apart Christ as Lord. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with the angels, authorities and powers in submission to Him." Baptism recognizes the work that Jesus has done as victory over death. The fact that He has indeed destroyed that shroud that enfolds all people. That He has swallowed up death forever. And that we, His followers, bow to Him and say, "Lord, Savior." Then we may sit at the banquet table with Him. Then we may fellowship with Him. But if we are too prideful to bow our head, to stand and be baptized, then we are too prideful and we have the route of Moab, which is that of destruction and judgment. This is talking about the last days and what's going to happen. And people will either be in the hand of the merciful God? Because they have submitted to Him as their Lord and Savior, or in the hand of the judgmental God, who will hold judgment on all they have done, and they will receive the wages of sin, which is indeed death. Today we're going to baptize four people because they've said, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And the Word says to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As a public declaration of that. Not that somehow being baptized is magical. The baptism itself doesn't do something to you. I mean, you can't sneak it in. It's all about the position of your heart. If Jesus really isn't your Lord and Savior, going and having somebody dunk you under and say some words over you will do nothing. However, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you do profess Him as that Lord and Savior, and symbolically die and are resurrected and washed clean of that old and receiving of the new creature in Christ, that's a powerful testimony. And it helps us to keep ourselves walking with Christ as our Lord, always. I'm going to ask those who are going to be baptized to come join me over here in the worship office. And Butch, if you would please come and give us some special music.